I'm happy to greet you tonight in the name of Jesus, the one who has come to set us free, and not just set us free, but include us in his kingdom and give us strength to serve him and a goal to serve him by. Such a blessing, such a blessing. I don't know where I would be tonight were it not for Jesus. And I trust that is your testimony as well. I would like to use a theme song through the week, and I've struggled with a number of different songs, what to use. And I thought, well, maybe I should use several. I don't know. I want to sing 277 in your hymns of the church. This is an old familiar. I trust it's familiar here. Certainly an old familiar. It should touch your hearts, those of us who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. It should speak to us. It should be our testimony. And it should again inspire us with a wonder at Christ's interest in us as individuals. Each of us. Could I have the song leader give me the pitch? ...277 in your books. Oh, in tenderness he sought me, weary and sick with sin, and on his shoulders brought me back to his fold again. While angels in his presence sang until the courts of heaven rang. All the love that sought me, all the blood that bought me, all the grace that brought me to the fold. That brought me to the fold. He washed the bleeding sin wounds and poured in oil and wine. He whispered to assure me, I found thee, thou art mine. I never sweeter voice it made my aching heart rejoice. Oh, the love that sought me, oh, the blood that bought me, oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. That brought me to the fold. He pointed to the nail prints, for me his blood was shed, a mocking crown so thorny was placed upon his head. I wondered what he saw in me to suffer such deep agony. All the love that sought me, all the blood that bought me, all the grace that brought me to the fold. Wondrous grace that brought me to the fold.
There's going to be any blessing in our lives, it's going to be because of the divine work of Christ.
And tonight we want him to be in our midst. We want his spirit present in our midst, and we want the word to be lifted up, because without that, we'll accomplish nothing. Accomplish nothing. We'd like to give you a memory verse for the week. I'd like to see if we could have some number of responses to share this. Maybe somebody can do it tomorrow night for us. That'd be quick in the week. Be glad. Turn in your Bibles to Hosea 10. It's one of those books we don't get in a lot. Hosea 10 and verse 12. I'd like us to memorize this verse this week. Maybe you already know it. It's a call of the prophet Hosea. A message from God that is important for every one of us. It doesn't matter how long you have served the Lord, there's still more room for growth. It doesn't matter who you are tonight, what's your last name, this verse applies to you. It is something true for all of us. I'd like you to just stand, and we'll say this verse all together tonight. Stand. Hosea 10 and verse 12 together. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. All right, you may be seated. So I'll be glad through the week if we can have some volunteers to share that verse with us as you get it memorized. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. You know, you reap what you sow. Sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap the mercy of God. Reap the mercy of God. Do you want mercy or do you want judgment? We want mercy, right? We want to reap the mercy of God. Reap in mercy. Then he says, humble your heart, break up your fallow ground. Deal with that part of your heart that has never been turned over as much as it should be. Break up your fallow ground. Allow God to do a work there, for it is time to seek the Lord. If there's ever a time that it is time to seek the Lord, it's today. It's today, because time is running out. Time is running out for every one of us. It's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. No greater blessing than to have God do that in each one of our hearts and lives. Tonight for a message, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Luke 19. Luke 19, I would like to start reading at verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city. This is near to Jerusalem. He beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. Notice what he says next. Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Implying that it is important for us to understand the time of God's visitation. Important in each one of our lives. It was important for them. They missed it. Here was Jesus. He came to earth as a babe. He was born. He walked in their midst. He performed miracle after miracle. He came there. Why? Why did he come? He came to set the captive free, he said. To unloose those that were burdened. To give eyesight to the blind. Preach deliverance to the captives, he said. He was interested that they would be to set at liberty that which was bruised. As he read those verses there in Luke chapter 4. Jesus came, and yet here he is. His ministry is almost over, and he's weeping over the city of Jerusalem because they understood not the day of his visitation. Why was Israel so ignorant of God visiting them? Why? Is it possible today for us here in America to miss God visiting us? Is it possible for him to miss, for me to miss God visiting me today? Is it possible? We know it is possible. Do we want to miss his visitation? No, we don't want to miss his visitation. We want to understand it. Thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Now, as I think of this word visitation, or forms of this word in Scripture, there's a number of places. It talks about God visiting his people. But I'm going to use the title tonight, Understanding the Time of God's Visitation. You know, wasn't it so apparent that Jesus was the Son of God? How many of you have wished already you could have sat on those streets? You could have seen Jesus come, heal the lame and the blind, speak those words of knowledge and truth, and open up the Scriptures to you. I'm sure we've all wished at times we could have been there. But God still comes today. In fact, he has given us a great revelation of himself through the Word. There they sat. Some of the people sat there. And they missed the time of God's visitation. Was it the darkness in the age that was in the age they were in that caused them to miss it? Was it because there had been 400 silent years or more? Why? Why did they miss it? Weren't there some who knew he was coming and tried to help others understand it? Hadn't John the Baptist preached the coming of Jesus? Wasn't his message clear? It was. It brought repentance to hearts. But there were others that failed to understand. They failed to understand. They missed the point of his coming. So the problem they had was not a lack of the Scriptures. There were plenty of Scriptures. The problem was within. The problem was within. It wasn't a lack of Scriptures. And today it's still the same. If we miss the day of God's visitation in our own hearts and lives, we can't blame the Scriptures. We can't blame the Scriptures. We can only blame ourselves. Because God would have us understand his Word, and he comes to us to clearly reveal his Word of truth to us. The scribes and Pharisees knew the Scriptures. And Jesus called them blind leaders of the blind. They knew the Scriptures and they missed the point. They failed to see. They knew not the time of God's visitation. Tonight it is possible for us to have a mere head knowledge and have preconceived ideas of how all these things should fit together and fail to have a heart that is humbled and willing to accept the way God wants us to understand it. And that was their problem. They had a head knowledge and they thought things were going to happen this way or this way. And so when Jesus came, they said, well, he didn't fit this criteria of this verse over here. So it cannot be Jesus. Certainly can't be. And so there were arguments back and forth. Is this the Christ or is this not the Christ? And they failed to understand because they had a head knowledge that created preconceived ideas that kept them from having a heart knowledge. And it is so true. It can happen in my own heart. Many times you've heard, or I'm sure you've heard the statement or thought it already, that seeing is believing. You know, if I can just see something, I'll understand it. It's believing. Well, seeing wasn't believing for everyone in those days. They saw the very man that the Son of God, the Lamb of God, walked in their midst. They saw him, but that was not a true statement for their generation. Seeing wasn't believing. How does God visit man today? How does God visit man today? How would you feel today if you went to see those who were your best friends and you left behind all the present wealth and glory that you may have had as a person? You left all that behind because you had to go to a far country. And the only way to get there was to let these things behind. That was the part of the errand. You know, Jesus, he left behind the glories of heaven. He left behind the beauty of heaven. He came to earth and he left all that wonder. And he came to those individuals, those Jews that he loved, the very ones that he had created, the very ones that he came to redeem, and he came to share a message with them, and they failed to hear his message. How would you feel if you went and shared your heart with your friend and gave and did all you could for your friends, and they rejected you, they closed the door, and you had to leave weeping? You had to leave weeping. I've never had a friend reject me like that at the door. I don't know what I'd have done today if nobody picked me up at the airport. That would have been a different experience. But you know what? This is way worse than being picked up in an airport. They rejected the one who was offering them salvation. They rejected the one who came to set them free. They were looking for freedom from the Romans, and they failed to see the one that could give them true freedom. Very few caught the message. Thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. This was truly a visit of great love. It was a visit of great love. It was a visit that could have changed the whole nation of Israel. It could have changed the whole nation of Israel. And his visit for mankind today could change the whole world if the world would respond to that visit. But the door is being closed by hearts over and over again because they don't want to hear the message. They fail to understand how important that message is. God have mercy on us when we close the door on the only one who offers us deliverance. How did God visit men in the scriptures? How does God want to visit us this week, this year? What will be our response? I'd like to think a little bit about this word visitation. You know, visitation in the scriptures is often a season of judgment. But here in this verse, thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. It was a season of grace. It was not a season of judgment. It was a season of grace. Now I'm glad tonight to be present in a season of grace. We're in a season of grace. God's hand is stretched out still. God's hand is stretched out still. The blood of Jesus is available still for every one of us here tonight. The healing power of Jesus. And we need healing again and again. Oh, yes, we do. The healing power of Jesus is available. Do you believe that tonight? The healing power of that blood. The healing power of that blood is available, and he wants to meet. That is a season of grace. The goodness of God reaching down to man through Christ. God's riches at Christ's expense, that's only one definition of grace. Grace is much bigger than that, but a season of grace. The dictionary defined visit as pay attention to, observe. Pay attention to, observe, to attend to. Also the idea to visit upon, punish, as you think of that season of judgment. So I'd like tonight to just go through the Bible and look at different passages where God visited his people or visited people on this earth. Start in Genesis 50. Follow with me in your Bibles. In Genesis 50, in verse 24, here's what Joseph says. Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. Now let's turn to Exodus chapter 3. As we think of Joseph's prophecy, Exodus chapter 3, verse 16. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. This is the message that Moses is sharing with these people that are slaves in Egypt. This is the message. The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, he's come and he talked to me, and he said, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. What a message. Picture yourself there. Under the cruel bondage of a taskmaster, building pyramid cities, those big pyramids and other things. Day in, day out, you must serve with rigor. Now we notice that became more so as Moses went in and interceded for them. But there they are. They're in bondage. They need to be visited by God in order to deliver them from bondage. And it is so true today. In a spiritual sense today, unless the people of God are delivered from the world, what will happen? We'll stay in bondage and reap the wrath for the world. The people of God need a deliverance. God has better things for us than to dwell in this world under the cruel bondage of a taskmaster, Satan. He has much better things for us than that. He desired to visit his people and carry them out of Egypt, deliver them from Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world in the scriptures. Chapter 4 and verse 31. And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. They bowed their heads and worshiped. Tonight it should again renew worship in our own hearts as we think of what Jesus has come to do for us today by visiting us. Should inspire worship as we think of God's great deliverance. Now we notice also in Scripture that God visits people with judgment. And I want to read some verses starting first in Leviticus 18. Here he's talking about Leviticus 18, verse 25. He's referring to the nations that were in the land of Canaan, and how that he was bringing them into their land. In 18:25, he says this, and the land is defiled, Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Vomiteth out her inhabitants. God came down. He knew what was happening in Canaan. He knew how those nations were worshiping wrong gods, false gods. He knew about their offering up of their children to Molech. He knew about the debauchery of their gods, worship of their gods. God knew about the blood that was being shed. God knew about all these things that were happening, the sin that was defiling the land. And he came and he visited. He visited that land and he cast out the people out of that land in judgment. Very severe. The prophets talk about it later in Scripture. And I would just like to read a few verses first in Amos chapter 3. As I think of God visiting because of man's sinful living. Amos 3 and verse 14, that in the day that I shall visit the transgressions of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel. Now what happened back at Bethel? Who put an altar at Bethel? Remember the king that didn't want him worshiping in Jerusalem? And he put an altar at Dan, and he put an altar at Bethel. And the purpose of these golden calves was to get the people to come and worship there instead of going to Jerusalem to worship. Did God care about that? Yes, God cared about that. Did God bring judgment upon that? Yes, God brought judgment upon that. He visited them because of this. The horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. And I will smite the winter house with the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, saith the Lord. You know, when I think about how wicked it is back home where I live, the debauchery I see right where I work, I can only imagine that one of these days God's going to visit America in a very dynamic way. And I want no parts of the judgment that will fall in that day. Now there's a sense tonight in which when you're living here in a physical way and God judges a nation, you reap the horrors of war. Doesn't mean he always escaped, the righteous always escape from that. You can read history again and again. But we do know that God is good to those who love him. And God offers us way more than we deserve. But we do not want to be visited by God for sinful living. None of us want to be visited by God for sinful living. Hosea, we can read a couple verses in Hosea chapter 8, similar verses. Verse 11, because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin, altars shall be unto him to sin. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. They sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of mine offerings and eat it. But the Lord accepteth them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt, for Israel hath forgotten his maker and buildeth temples. And Judah hath multiplied fenced cities, but I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. He says, now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. They have deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore he will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sins. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time. But they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto that shame, and their abominations were according as they loved. And he goes on here talking about them. But he says, therefore he will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sins. What happened when God destroyed the world with a flood? God visited the sins of the world. What happened when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? God came down and visited Sodom and Gomorrah for their sin. And one of the things, abundance of idleness is one of the things the scripture says in terms of their sin. Abundance of idleness. Amazing. Another thing in scripture that God visits people with, Ruth chapter 1, as I mentioned that passage, you Bible scholars probably already know what verse I'll read. Ruth 1 and verse 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Every one of you today probably took time to pray before you ate. I trust you did. We were thanking God for visiting us with bread. God so graciously visits us day in and day out. And we don't want to ever get to the place where we fail to see God visiting us with bread. With bread. You know, the things in life that you count on the most or that you appreciate the most, they should be the commonplace things that God gives you so often. Right? But many times, until they're taken from us, we don't appreciate them like we would. My brother-in-law recently fell off a roof. God visited him in a very special way, it seems like. Our hearts go out to him because we would love to see him restored. But he fell off a roof. We build pole houses back home. We work by the water. And so they put the house up on poles, which makes it higher right to begin with, so that when the hurricanes come, the water can go under the house and the structure stay up there, okay? And so our houses are usually pretty high when we're building a pole house. So he was up on the roof there setting a window on the second level. So he would have been 20-some feet from the ground. And it wasn't a steep roof. And it was the last window he was going to set that day. And his fellers, like, he didn't need help to carry it. But he went to walk there. And for some reason, he slipped. And he fell. And he broke his pelvis in two places. He was in bad shape. But God was merciful to him. He said, you know what? He said, it's not till you can't, you know, he's not supposed to stand 3 months, you know, on his leg. Well, you stood on your leg today and you just took it for granted, didn't you? You see these simple things, and he made this comment, you know, the simple things. Some simple things, he said, you don't appreciate them so much till they're taken from you. And you just can't do it. God visits us with bread. And here in America, he has visited us with bread. Does that mean we need to abuse that visit? No. But we need to thank God for the bread that he gives us. Thank him again and again. Here she was thankful. God visited his people with bread, and she returned back, was glad for that. God visiting his people with bread. God daily loadeth us with benefits, this psalmist says. Daily loadeth us with benefits. We need to take knowledge of it. Understand God's visitation for us in many ways. In 1 Samuel 2 and verse 21, you hear we have Hannah being visited by God and granted conception. And she's blessed with a number of children. And back in Genesis 21, 1 and 2, Sarah is visited by God and granted conception. A gift from God, a blessing from God. God visiting. Over in Psalm 17, verse 3, thou hast proved mine heart, thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. This is one of these visits that we often don't want. I'm going to call it the visit of God's testing. I'm not sure what all is in focus here. He says, "Thou hast visited me in the night." Could also put with this maybe God visiting men with conviction. It's a blessing, but I see it more as testing. "Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing," he says. Job talks about God visiting him every morning. In fact, Job 7, I could just back up a few, one book and read it. Job 7 and verse 8, 18. 7, he's raising this question. "And that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment. How long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone till I swallow down my spittle?" He's raising some questions as he's going through that time of testing that God had brought into his life. But you know, God visits us with testing. And God doesn't do it because he hates us. God doesn't do it because he's trying to push under the sons of men. God does it to lift us higher. God's plans are far greater than our plans. His thoughts are way higher than our thoughts. He's just so much greater. It's just, because he's creator God, because he knows each one of us individually, and he knows who all is surrounding our lives, and he knows what all purpose he wants to accomplish by our lives, and he knows who all he wants to influence for good by those who are righteous, and he knows how to draw those who are wandering from him back to himself. He's such a good father. But he knows how to test us. You know, he knew how to test me today. I wasn't sure. You know, get these emails before we ever left home, flight canceled. I was like, well, I don't know. There's a little testing. God tests us in a variety of ways. And he wants us to pass that test. We need to understand the time of God's visitation and let him speak to us. Let him make out of us what he wants to. And it takes humility, like our brother referred to. We could turn to Hebrews 12 and we could read those verses in terms of chastisement. As we think of God's chastisement and the purpose of it, he says, "Now no chastening for the pleasant seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby." I've heard story after story of individuals that have been turned around by the chastening of God and have been brought back to truth and brought back to righteousness, and their lives have been changed. And we praise God for that. We can look at that and say, amen. But when God does it in our own hearts, we say, whoa, God, you messed up. Will we let him have the reins? Will we understand the time of God's visitation? Jeremiah. Well, turn to Psalm 80. Psalm 80 in verse 14. "Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts." This is a prayer. Psalm of Asaph. "Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will we not go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." God visits men with restoration and healing. God visits men with restoration and healing. And notice, here is an individual who is crying out for that to happen. And it is so true. when we cry out to God for that to happen in our lives, when we have hurts in our lives that we do not have answers for, and we cry out to God for answers, God is willing to come and give us answers. He wants to visit us. He wants to heal our hurts. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, he says. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is right. God visits men in kindness as he keeps his promises. It's tied right in with this same thought in Jeremiah 29 and verse 30. Wait a minute. Jeremiah 29 and verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Now this is a similar prayer, it seems, in Psalm 80, tied to that same thought. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine, the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted. As you think of this, 70 years in Babylon, God visiting them and causing them to return, the Jews return. God visits men in kindness as he keeps his promises. And God visits us today in kindness as he keeps his promises. And just start thinking of the different promises in Scripture that God offers us. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that ye ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. Is he? Yes, he is. God visits men in kindness as he keeps his promises. Psalm 106 and verse 4, another visitation verse of God. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned. He talks about their sin, but and so he's saying, O visit me with thy salvation. God visits men with salvation. And over in Luke chapter 1, a similar thought is echoed here in Luke 1. Verse 67, his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. What a blessing! God visits men with salvation. As you think of the goodness of God in visiting this world with salvation, the goodness of God in visiting my heart with his salvation, the goodness of God in visiting your heart with his salvation, the goodness of God in coming here to every heart tonight, and if there's someone here that's not ready to meet him and that needs his salvation, God is visiting our hearts tonight with his salvation. God visits men with salvation. A little bit later in this passage in Luke 1, verse 78. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Those are precious verses. Stop and think about what he's saying. Through the tender mercy of our God. Do you have a picture of God as a cruel God? Do you have a picture of God as a tender God? What's the facial picture that you have of God? He had a picture of God being a God with tender mercy. Tender mercy. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring, referring to Jesus, from on high hath visited us, as we think of Jesus coming and that dawn, that that dawn coming because of his coming? Day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness. Tonight, where would you be if you didn't have a Bible that showed you Jesus? Tonight, where would you be if no one had shared the light of the gospel with you? Tonight, where would we be if it were not for the tender mercy of our God? Tonight, where would we be had not the day spring from on high visited this world? Tonight, where would we be to give light to them that sit in darkness? He says where we're at automatically, darkness. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Over every one of our lives is hanging this shadow of death without a deliverer. Without a deliverer. Without a light. Without, yes, a day of God's visitation. He hath visited us. And he goes on, and he doesn't just stop that verse in the shadow of death, but he said, to guide our feet into the way of peace. You know, that is one of the most sought after things that every one of us tonight wants. Whether you'll admit it tonight or not, every one of us wants peace. There's not any of us that desire warfare in the sense of guilt on our hearts. We want deliverance from that guilt. Every one of us does. We might not admit it. There are many who say they don't want it, maybe. But really deep down inside, every one of us wants deliverance. And what does he say? Whereby the day spring on high hath visited us to guide our feet into the way of peace. You see, we need some light. And with that light comes a pathway. And with that pathway comes a guide to show us, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And he gives us a guidebook, but he also reveals the guide in the book. Isn't that so amazing? He puts the guide in the guidebook, and he shows us how he lived, and he shows us the way of peace, and he offers us that beautiful path. And he even offers to be the shepherd in that path. Praise the Lord for that tonight. How does God visit mankind? Luke 7, verses 11 through 17. Picture yourself being this woman. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he was come nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Now, I wish I knew exactly how he said that. You heard how I said it, okay? And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all. And they glorified God, saying, that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. Isn't that amazing what they said? God hath visited his people. Who else has the power over death? No one else. You see, Jesus introduced his ministry with seemingly two main things. The power that he had to give life and the power that he had over sin. He resurrected people and he healed that man and said, I forgive your sins. I forgive your sins. And he resurrected someone soon after that. Here he's fairly early in his ministry. There's a resurrection taking place. Tonight, I'm glad for the miraculous power of God, that God visits his people and shows his power. God visits his people and shows his power. Now, I can't put peace into your heart. There's only one that can do that. And unless we experience the new birth, we don't understand it. We'll be just like Nicodemus. But tonight I praise the Lord for the miraculous power of God in being able to put peace into our souls. That's just one of his miracles. But I'm looking forward to that day when he has power over death for this body of mine. That resurrection power. When he says all that are in the graves are going to hear his voice and come forth. And there's going to be some resurrected to eternal life. And there's going to be some resurrected to eternal damnation. So you could say God visits people with his voice. All he did was spoke here. All he did was spoke. And there was a powerful happening there that day. And they realized and they stood there and they glorified God. God had visited his people. You might think you don't live in a time when there are many miracles. Well, they might not be as miraculous as the day Jesus walked on earth, everyday experiences. But I'm here to tell you tonight, God's still working miracles. God's still working miracles. We're either going to be those individuals who open our eyes and see it, or we're going to close our hearts and fail to see the day of God's visitation. Isaiah 29 and verse 6. Maybe I should read 5 with it. Moreover, the multitude of thy strangers shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones shall be as chaff that passeth away, yet shall be at an instant suddenly. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder, and with earthquake, and great noise, with storm and tempest, and the flame of devouring fire. I'm here tonight to say the scripture says God visits people through nature. God visits people through nature. He speaks in dynamic ways through nature and how he uses it. He speaks through the hurricanes. He may speak through the snowstorms. You put in there how God can speak to man so quickly. God can speak. He can visit his people. He can visit this earth. And he tries to get man's attention and stop and realize there's a God up there. And he's in control of this earth. Even though man claims there's no God. And they try to say this earth evolved. And they put all these things together that make no sense. Yet God is able in 1 minute to grab their attention and visit them. Visit. Job 31 and verses 13 and 14, another one of the visits of Scripture. If I did despise the cause of my manservant or my maidservant when they contended with me, what then shall I do when God riseth up and when he visiteth, what shall I answer him? I'm going to say God visits men with accountability. With accountability. Tonight, we're given responsibility in a variety of areas by God, those of us who are older. Here, Job is talking about having a manservant and a maidservant, and they came and they contended with him over some issue, and he didn't listen to what they had to say. He said, there's going to be a God that's going to visit me. I'm going to be accountable to God if I'm mistreating them. And it's so true tonight. We are accountable to God in terms of relationships. Right or wrong, we are accountable to God. Job was accountable for how he treated his manservant and maidservant. Each of us are accountable to how we relate to others. Others may treat us unfairly. That's in their lap. But we are accountable in our lap for how we respond to others. God will visit us. God will rise up and visit us if we fail to take his way. I speak to myself. God visits man with accountability. Matthew 22 is sort of a similar verse as you think of that thought of accountability. Matthew 22 and verse 12. You know that parable he's sharing? And verse 11, when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment, and he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. What was he doing? He was visiting this man with accountability. He was visiting him with accountability. Man was speechless. Well, the last verse I want to use tonight is in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. God wants to use every one of us as Christians as a means for glorifying his name in this day of visitation. Glorify God in the day of visitation. Well, these are some of the verses in Scripture that refer to God visiting man. God wants to visit us this week. I believe that. God wants to visit us this week in our revivals. But God wants to visit us in our lives. God wants to do a work that is far greater than anyone can do. God wants to perform his work in our hearts and lives. In fact, he wants to perform it to the point where he can present us perfect before God in Christ. And tonight I praise the Lord for that. I praise the Lord to that. The question that comes to us, will I hear God speaking? Am I open to his visiting in my heart? Will I hear God speaking this week? Will I see God at work in my life? Am I seeing God at work in my life? Will I understand his visitations and be bettered by them? Or will it be said of my generation or of myself personally, he understood not the day of my visitation? And I lose out and fail of the peace of God. What will God say of this church? What will God say of this congregation? What will God say of the Pilgrim Conference? How will we answer? How will he feel about us in the day of visitation? Tonight I want to open it up with an invitation, hymn. Maybe there's someone here tonight that God's been speaking to your heart, and you know you're not ready for his coming. It's your opportunity to get right, to hear his visit, to open up your heart to his visit. Maybe there's someone here tonight that has been withholding back from God and knows it and would like to get that cleared up in some area. It's your opportunity. It's your opportunity. God wants to visit us with his peace. He wants to visit us with his peace. I like to use the familiar hymn of Just As I Am. I think we know that by memory. Just sing a verse of Just As I Am. If God has spoken to you, you want to respond to his speaking, make that need known. Stand to your feet while we sing a verse of Just As I Am. Just as I am without one plea, God.
Thank you for standing. Just as I am at a waiting not to
stand for a closing prayer.